this is a rare occasion. Laurie Sims is here, and we're about to preview not one concert, but two concerts that are coming up for you this weekend. Yes. Thank you for joining me.
Of course.
To preview. First of all, we'll start with tonight's concert, which is a faculty recital at Western Michigan University. And you will be performing music of Debussy, 24 preludes.
Yes. So fun fact, I was supposed to do this recital 2 weeks ago, and I caught the flu, and I've never had the flu to understand what that really does to you. So I wasn't quite over it by the recital day, and this is the reason that I've moved it to tonight and then have this other recital right 2 days later. So I am sort of not crazy and crazy all at the same time. I really wanted to do the Debussy preludes because I was fortunate enough to receive a grant from called the Fracca grant from Western Michigan University to be able to make a video recording and recording of those. And I'll be doing that over the Christmas break. And so I just wanted that opportunity to just sort of play them through. And it's a great chance to see where I am. But also, I just think that the preludes as a set are so interesting. People pluck them out. And for very good reason, I also do too. And Debussy actually intended that a whole book would be performed as a set. He actually has linked them in a very noticeable way, something like Schumann would do in one of his narrative sets. And I just think it's a different experience. Now, hearing two books is a really different experience. but in fact, also, the second book is Debussy meant as a reflection of the first book, like a deeper reflection. And so even that, there's this sort of opportunity to maybe get the whole thing in one fell swoop. So why not?
That puts a lot of wonderful thoughts in my mind about Debussy's. He must have liked a lot of things about the first set and kept thinking about it and went on to write a second set.
Well, and they were written within a very short, I think like a year. Fairly soon after. I mean, it was quite soon before his death. So this was a real, I think this was a very designated project. And the idea of writing 24 preludes, of course, has been, seen by Bach and Chopin and probably more specifically Chopin because there are no fugues. And Debussy is not, he departs from the idea of having them in every key. His are more based on sort of these various impressions and picking up all sorts of, I guess, musical features of, that's for me, it's like pulling in all of the centuries worth of music from the 12th all the way through to the 20th century. And all the symbolism of certain musical motives that show up in various guises throughout his music. So it's really something I think very special.
It's a universe of music unto
itself.
It is
a universe. Yes, it is.
And you'll take the stage tonight at 8 o'clock. It's a live concert. Protocol is wear your mask at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And if you are currently dealing with the flu, dear listener, you could also watch online. There is a School of Music YouTube page, and it's fairly easy to access. wmich.edu/music/events and visit the posting of this concert. There's a link right next to it that will take you to the video page where you can watch Laurie at home if you like. So some of these preludes are super famous. You know, they're going to stand out from the rest,
right?
But hearing them as a whole, Mm-hmm. You're suggesting that we might actually get a deeper sense or understanding of the music by what comes before and what comes after in the sequence.
Yes, I think so. I think that, there are, even when I play them for friends, there are musical piano friends. They'll be like, wow, I totally forgot that that prelude was in there. And hearing how it appears, and again, it's kind of like walking through a gallery of paintings and how those paintings are on the wall and what the lighting is and however it's presented within the scheme of whoever's decided to design that exhibit can really make a very, very big difference. And I think particularly when you're listening to the second set and thinking, which one of the first set was that the deeper reflection of? And they're not in order. It's not like the first one and the first one are the deeper reflections. Not at all. Because he's way too clever for that. And he never actually said which ones. And I love that he left that for the listener, the performer, and there's some mysteries there.
The titles all seem so inspired. They're mm-hmm. just entrancing images or
yes.
intriguing mm-hmm. images. And, you know, I know that your German fellows, like your Brahms, they're out walking around and Beethoven's looking at the Alps or something mm-hmm. and, you know, feeling connected with nature and mm-hmm. the outdoors. I think of Debussy as kind of a city guy, maybe a reader.
Oh, absolutely. So, for example, the first set, which is the Dancers of Delft, that is based on a piece of pottery that's in the Louvre, where it shows these figures sort of in a frieze, almost locked in space, but dancing in some kind of way. The homage to Pickwick, it's very interesting that Debussy loved Dickens, and that is a little, and he sort of loved English literature. So he has two, that Puck and this homage to Pickwick, which are tipping the chapeau to English writers. So there's lots and lots of, there's literature, there's paintings, there's all sorts of myths. The Ondine is in there, which is the myth of the siren who's trying to attract the mortal man and can't get his attention and swims off, which is also a really interesting that's a real narrative prelude. So all the preludes also have very, very individual forms.
Yeah.
The Girl with the Flaxen Hair is a very popular
That one will know.
Prelude. Everybody's going to know that one. And there's a reason to know it. It's actually one of my very favorites. I never tire of playing it, even though I've heard it about 2 million times in my life.
Point.
I know it's always something fresh. But then to see what I think is the alternative or the deeper version of that, which is in Bruyère. So where the girl of flaxen hair is almost a picture of beauty and naivete and a look back on youth and a sort of reflection of that. The Bruyère is the heath or the heather that's in a certain part of France. And also it's almost, Debussy used to love to go there to visit and for vacations. And so one senses even then the memory and the, also the idealization of this area.
Landscape.
Yes, a landscape.
Yeah.
And that's incorporating maybe more than just youth. Maybe it's youth and love and all sorts of different things. So, yeah.
Are you playing all of these from memory?
I am playing all of these from memory.
And that has taken how long?
excuse me. I first did it in the Gilmore about 5 years ago, and that was the first time I had I learned all of them sort of like within that year, then in the subsequent 5 years I've played books or half books or two or three. So I've done exactly what I said I don't necessarily always love to do, but yes, but I've And I've taught lots of them, yes, which always brings me to sort of find more conviction in what I think about the pieces. So there's a lot that went into it.
Is there any chance that you would accidentally skip one? Or do you they now have this?
Sometimes I ask myself. The other day I actually had to open my book because I was like, I'm not sure if I skipped one. Yes, sometimes. I hope I don't. yes. There are just a couple of little, sometimes I just go a little too deep into my concentration and I think, okay, now where am I?
Yeah.
yeah. And which one next?
Waking up with, yes. I hope yeah. I played that.
yes, yes. Or I kind of forget where the next one starts or something. I have this moment where I have to bring myself into the new world, and because they're harmonically at least a little bit more abstract than, say, a Schumann set, then I have to plug in a little bit more.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see. My guest is Laurie Sims, and she will perform both sets of preludes complete and perfectly tonight at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, where we're all asked to be wearing our masks. It's also live streamed from the School of Music website. And as I mentioned at the beginning of our chat, this is the first of two concerts that you will perform as a solo artist this weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's tell listeners about the second one. And here we're talking about a series held at Millwood United Methodist Church, just about all year round, where they invite mm-hmm. in a lot of special guests, a lot of different kinds of music throughout the year. And you are Sunday's guest at 3 mm-hmm. o'clock. It is also a free concert. And here also the audience is asked to be safe and be masked. You mentioned teaching the Debussy Preludes to students as, you know, part of how it you kind of live with the music. Mm-hmm. And I instantly imagined you meeting a student who had a certain personality and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I know exactly which one I should
totally.
Assign.
yeah.
It must be a wonderful thing about being a teacher is intuiting things about this young person, mm-hmm. kind of in your charge, mm-hmm. And seeing music as a way of growing, as a growth step?
It is, first of all, it's one of my favorite things to do. And even though it's very immodest to say so, I do think it's my secret power. that I somehow can read my students well. And sometimes I end up choosing something for them that they never thought for themselves. And then they suddenly explode. And it's like such a super thrill for me. And it is funny that I have a lot of students who suddenly want to play some Debussy Preludes and for next semester. And that's just, I do live for that. That's a really, really important thing for me.
This is a somewhat obscure way of introducing the idea that you are honoring people in this concert on Sunday. I'm familiar with two of these personalities. All of them have passed on, and one of them was a student of yours.
Yes. As many of us have had these sort of unfortunate, during the pandemic, people have passed, and we haven't really had the chance to memorialize things in the way we wanted. The first of those actually, fortuitously, I just keep telling myself that was Phyllis Rappaport, who we had her memorial service shortly before everything shut down. And I just think that she picked a great time, and I give her that. And Phyllis had a very special relationship to the Debussy Preludes and really loved them very much. And it is kind of a funny story because the repertoire that she loved and played a lot, she was particularly, and I understand this, she was very opinionated about it. So, God forbid you would be playing Bach with pedal, that, she'd let you know about it. As people who know Phyllis, she had a funny sort of unfiltered yet very, I loved it because you always just knew where you would stand. And if you said, well, Phyllis, I disagree, she'd be like, oh, okay. And there was no love lost. It was always the same. And so when I was playing the Debussy Preludes, I was actually really kind of nervous to play them in front of her because I thought this was not up till then what I think was considered my music. And I remember at the recital that she came and she said, well, they were just perfect. And I thought I was just going to drop there right on the floor. And so, which was, I really felt like I'd outdone myself.
Yeah, you can't get much higher praise
from anyone. And I'm certain that they were not perfect, but I really appreciated what she said. And Phyllis was a very, very dear friend, and I miss her pretty much on a real regular basis. As many of us do. So I thought this would be a time that I could sort of, for myself, honor her. The next little set I'm playing is a Chopin set, and those I dedicated to Jerry French, who I just knew from the audience members, and I spent some time with him a few times, and he was a person who was so generous in his time and in his love of music and his support of musicians and his just general graciousness. And he just passed very recently, and I was really glad that I got to go see him shortly before he passed. And what I noticed was that he entertained me and remembered everything about my life and asked me all sorts of questions about where I had just moved, and I thought, wow, so this is my chance to give something to him in my own way. The last is for me the most tragic. Was a student who died of a brain aneurysm in October, and he wasn't even 40. And he was a brilliant student, and he had become such a brilliant teacher and community advocate, and there's just kind of no way that I wasn't incredibly proud of him. And what was really interesting was that last year, during the pandemic, I learned this Bach partita and the Dutia Sonata, both of which he played at his senior recital. And at the time, I wasn't really familiar with the Dutia. And I would always tell him, you know, one of these days, I said, I'm stealing this from you, as I do with many of my students' repertoire. I find it myself loving it, and I'm like, I'm doing that next. And it finally sort of came to the top, and I wrote to him on the day that I was playing. I said, I feel so funny. I said, I'm playing your recital. And and this recital was 15 years ago, and it was a great recital. And so that particularly, I feel like I kind of have to honor him. And all of these people, I would not consider myself a maybe a key player in their lives, but they were a key player in my life. And so this feels like a time that I can honor them in this recital. And this is a community recital where all these people were known by various people. So
all people who are so dedicated to music and art.
Totally dedicated to music. So, and it's for me. I mean, as you know, anymore, most of the things I do, with the things I learn, the pieces I play, the choices I make, are about what I want to do and what things are important to me. So I'm so excited for people to join in on that. And I just wanted them to know where my heart was in this one.
Mm-hmm. So you pick all your own pieces, but you're very proud of how you tell students what to play.
Yeah! I just get them on the right track, and then they can choose. I help them to know themselves.
Like in Jonathan's case, you know, they'll become such advocates for their own music that they convince you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Jonathan was a student who did know who he was as a musician, and he always did know the things that he loved to play. And it was always a great fun to work with him, because he would bring me presents sort of in what, like, oh, well, let's do this. And I do have students who have that sense. He was particularly like that.
Because I don't think listeners are that familiar with this composer, Henri Dutilleux, mm-hmm. how does it reflect Jonathan's personality? What kind of music is it?
So Jonathan had a real he was a very humble and very would come off as a very laid back kind of one of my other students described him as a person who always took time to listen. He always seemed to have enough time in his life to hear you, which is, wow, that's like a, and it's true, I do. And then on the other side, he had this kind of like, he wanted to play something that was really brash, and he liked to do a piece that had a big bang for its buck. And this Dutilleux has a lot of bang for its buck. It's slightly modern, but it's actually very Frenchy and has a lot of jazz kind of elements to it. It's got a romantic textures and orchestral textures. And mostly it just has it really has a lot of drive and a lot of virtuoso sort of appeal. And so maybe that was something I knew about him that
we'll have a little understanding when we hear this music. It's Sunday at 3:00 at Millwood United Methodist Church. It's called the Millwood Series. And when you're there, I'm sure they'll announce more about the season. It happens to be the 34th season, it says here.
Yes.
So this is a really long-standing concert series in the Kalamazoo area.
Yes.
Here's where we probably have to say goodbye for now. I want listeners to know once again that, Lori, you're playing tonight the Complete Preludes of Debussy at Western, starting at 8:00 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. It'll also be a live-streamed concert. And then again, Sunday at 3:00 at Millwood United Methodist Church on the Millwood Series. That's 3919 Portage Road in Kalamazoo. Also a really nice space. I mean, I know the Dalton Center really well, but I've been to Millwood a number of times, and it's
a very warm space.
Peaceful, nice place. Mm-hmm. And thank you for telling us about all this music, the special program.
Mm-hmm.
And happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Warmest greetings.
Yes.